Good afternoon, everybody. The last 2 days we spoke about the Pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan, where we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to the Jewish people b'chinam. He did not charge for that service of teaching the Torah to us. The same way, ma'ani b'chinam afata b'chinam. Just like God taught him the Torah for free, so too he in turn taught it to future generations for free. And from here the Gemara learns that when one teaches Torah, one is not allowed to accept money for doing such a service. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yerudea, Hilchos Reish Mem Vav. Now, the Rishonim write, not only does this apply to teaching Torah, this applies to all mitzvah opportunities. We are not allowed to go ahead and charge money, like the Gemara says, if let's say I'm involved in Hashavas Aveda, I'm not allowed to go ahead and charge money for the person who I return the lost object to. My obligation from the Torah is to perform the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So why should the person go ahead and pay for that service if the Torah itself told me that I have an obligation to do so without pay? So that's the discussion that we had a couple of days ago. Then yesterday we broadened the discussion to what the Ramban and others talk about with regard to a rofe, with regard to a doctor. A doctor, surprisingly, also has no right to be involved in charging money because they are involved in the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, of saving somebody's life. If you have the medical knowledge, you have an obligation to go ahead and save somebody's life, which is why the Vilna Gaon, if I'm not mistaken, the Vilna Gaon said his father told him not to go to medical school and study medicine because once you go, then you have an obligation to go and heal people. Kolzman, you don't go. Kolzman, you don't know medicine, so you don't have an obligation to go ahead and obligate yourself to become a doctor to save people's lives. But once you know the information, once you know to save people's lives, then you have no excuse anymore. The Vilna Gaon's father told him, if you're going to do that, you're never going to learn because everyone's going to say he's such a genius, he knows how to save the world, and he should be involved in only life-saving activities. So, a doctor who's involved in life-saving activities and is saving the world and is helping people in the areas of Pikuach Nefesh is not allowed to charge money for that service because ma'ani b'chinam afata b'chinam. Now, if that's true, how do we explain why doctors and rabbis and teachers all accept money if, in fact, they're not allowed to for the services that they provide? So we said yesterday two explanations. Either, number one, because of schar tircha, because you're getting paid for all of the difficulty in getting to the point of performing the mitzvah. So let's say you have somebody who's hired as a bal tokeya for Rosh Hashanah. So you're not only paying them for the service that they're doing on Rosh Hashanah, that they're not allowed to charge for, but for the fact that they uprooted their family and they're going away from their community for Yontif, and for the fact that they have to prepare in advance and learn how to blow the shofar. All those aspects are areas which are considered under the category of schar tircha. That was heter number one. Heter number two that we made is schar tala. When you pay a rabbi a salary, you're not paying him because you think he speaks very well or because you think he's a good community rabbi or whatever. You're paying the rabbi because you try to figure out, to gauge, how much is it worth the community to have somebody who's going to be on call at all times to be available for our needs that we have. We pay the rabbi schar batala that he shouldn't go and get another job in another profession because we feel that it's worth it as a community to have this person around. So therefore, when we pay a rabbi or we pay an educator, we're not paying them for the service that they're giving, because for that service they're not allowed to charge. Rather, we're paying them that they shouldn't go ahead and find themselves another profession and not be available for us. Now let's move a little bit further. There is a discussion regarding Schar Shabbos. The Tosefta in Bav Metzia writes as follows. Hasocher es hapo lishmar lo para. This is quoting the Gemara. Somebody who hires a worker for them to watch the para. I want somebody to watch my animals. Or lishmar asatinok. I think this is the first earliest source of a babysitter. So I hire somebody to come be my babysitter for my children. Ein nosen lo schar Shabbos. You don't have to pay the person for working on Shabbos. Lefikach ein achray Shabbos alav. If I just hire somebody to watch my kids or to watch my animals, not that those are the same, but the Gemara just happens to say them at the same time. So the Gemara says that if I pay someone to do that, the assumption is I'm not paying them to do it on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, since I'm not paying them to do the service on Shabbos, therefore they don't have to provide services on Shabbos. However, hayaschir Shabbos, let's say I hire the person for a whole week, or if I hire the person for a chodesh, or for a year, or for a shavua, for 7 years, nosnin lo schar Shabbos. Then I give them the amount of money that they worked, not only during the week, but also on Shabbos as well. And this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Shinvav. Now we have an issue of schar Shabbos. That you see from the Gemara. You're not allowed to pay someone individually for doing work for you only on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that not only is the prohibition of schar Shabbos on the person who accepts the money, the prohibition of schar Shabbos is even on the person who is giving the money, because I'm not allowed to set up a system where I'm creating an issue of schar Shabbos for somebody else. Now, The Mishneh Berurah writes, based on the earlier Achronim, why is it that Schar Shabbos was instituted? What's the problem of Schar Shabbos? What is wrong with accepting money for providing a service on Shabbos? Now again, doesn't mean you take the money on Shabbos itself. It means even if you get the money after Shabbos, or even if you pay the money before Shabbos, there's still an issue of Schar Shabbos. What's the problem? Mishneh Berurah writes, because of Mekach u'Memkar. That's considered like doing business. Same way you're not allowed to do Mekach u'Memkar, business on Shabbos, this is considered like doing business on Shabbos. And therefore we assume there's an issue of Schar Shabbos. So the Achronim have a discussion. What about when it comes to doing a Dvar Mitzvah? So if I just hire someone to watch my animals on Shabbos, that's not a Dvar Mitzvah. But let's say I hire someone to be the caterer on Shabbos to cater my Shavuot Brachos. Or I hire someone to take care of my Bar Mitzvah. Or I hire someone to be the Chazan on Shabbos. Is that an issue of Schar Shabbos also? Or do you assume no? The only time Schar Shabbos is an issue is when we're talking about mundane activities, not mitzvah activities. But when I'm involved in a mitzvah, perhaps Schar Shabbos would not apply at all. We would not have an issue at all. Now the Mishneh Berurah writes, even if you assume that, strictly speaking, there's no issue of Schar Shabbos when it comes to a mitzvah activity, however, the Mishneh Berurah tells us, still, ein aroa simen bracha from that money. You still shouldn't get involved in such things because such money, you're never going to have good things come out of. That's what the Mishneh Berurah writes. Now, everybody discusses the issue of Schar Shabbos by a doctor. So what happens? You have a doctor who sometimes is called to go on a call on Shabbos, and don't think you're getting away with it for free, the doctor's going to charge you. Now everybody discusses, is the doctor allowed to take money? Is that considered like a Dvar Mitzvah when he's saving the person's life on Shabbos? Or do you say, no, it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, or even if it is a Dvar Mitzvah, maybe you should say that he shouldn't get benefit from it because Eina Rosim and Bracha, like the Mishneh Berurah says. So everybody talks about the issue of a doctor healing a patient. Then the Chasam Sofer takes it a step further. Well, even if we assume that the doctor is involved in a mitzvah when treating a Jewish patient on Shabbos, what about when he goes and he treats a non-Jewish patient on Shabbos? Is that considered a Dvar Mitzvah? Are you allowed to keep that money? But how can you charge only the non-Jew and not charge the Jewish patient? What are you going to do? All these kinds of issues. My father writes very simply, based on everything we said, Lefize, Nira She'en Baya Shal Schar Shabbos B'chlal. The whole question that everyone's discussing about a roi, about a doctor going ahead and accepting money when he treats a patient on Shabbos, is not a discussion at all. Why? Even during the week when the doctor goes ahead and takes care of a patient, the doctor is not really accepting the money even during the week when he sees a patient. He's not accepting the money because, oh, I gave you this and this amount of service, therefore you owe me this and this amount of money. The whole heter to pay a doctor in the first place is not because he's giving me a service. For that you're not allowed to pay. That's ma'ani b'chinam. You're not allowed to pay for a mitzvah. He's not allowed to charge for a mitzvah. But rather, the whole understanding of why we pay a doctor in the first place is because it's schar batala. We pay him the amount of money that it's worth it for our community, that he shouldn't go and become a lawyer, that he shouldn't go and get a different profession. And therefore, if that's the understanding, etzem atipul b'hachola hu osa tamid b'chinam. Every time, theoretically speaking, every time that the doctor is treating a patient, even during the week, he's really treating the patient for free. It's just that the patient is paying him that he shouldn't go and do something else. Umemela, and if that's true, so then why do you run into any issue on Shabbos? When the doctor treats the patient on Shabbos, it's the very same idea. We're not paying him for treating me and rendering the services on Shabbos itself. Rather, when I pay the doctor after Shabbos, it's because I'm happy that the doctor is available to me at all times. That's called Schar Batala. And my father argues that the whole issue of Schar Shabbos is really a misnomer. It's a mistake. The whole issue of Schar Shabbos by a doctor really never gets off the ground because the reason we're paying a doctor is not because of the treatment that he's giving me, but rather because we want that the whole week he should be available and ready to service the patients of this community. That's the argument my father puts forth. Yeah.
I can understand in the UK where the National Health Service is paying the doctor, but here if it's an insurance company who's paying it, there's no benefit to the insurance company. The patient is just paying a copay.
But it's the same. So our understanding is instead of us paying, so the insurance company pays. But basically the insurance company is representing us and saying that it's worth it for us to have you in that profession, in that field, that you shouldn't go and do something else.
But that's a difficult argument because what else would you do on Shabbos? Yeah. Right. You can go out and make money as in another profession.
Not on Shabbos, but it's worth it for us to have him all the time. So when I'm paying him after Shabbos, it's because...
That's an argument for a plumber.
What do you mean?
It would be worth it to have a plumber.
Okay, but he's not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. He's not allowed to do malacha. A doctor is involved in pikuach nefesh.
I understand, but he would have to do malacha on Shabbos in that formula.
I'm not sure what you mean.
You're saying that what else he would do with the community's paying him for what he would do for us.
Right, but the understanding, just back up 1 second. So just back up 1 second. The reason why I pay a doctor during the week when I go visit him is not because he just gave me this service. Rather, it's because I'm happy about the fact that he's not a plumber and he's not a lawyer. I'm happy about the fact that he's a doctor. That's why we pay a doctor. Right?
Shabbos and the week is two different.
Right? It's not two different things, because he has a mitzvah of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos as well.
Okay.
So I'm happy about the fact that he went to school, that he was trained, that he knows how to give this service, and I'm happier that he's not giving it up to do something else. And therefore, that would apply on Shabbos, the same would apply during the week.
He couldn't do something else on Shabbos.
What do you mean? If he wasn't a trained doctor, he wouldn't be able to save my life.
He wouldn't.
Because he spent the time training as a doctor and not doing something else, therefore I'm very grateful to him. What? I don't think it's an argument. When I'm paying him big adol, the reason why we're paying him $1 million salary a year is because we want to have a brain surgeon in town, whether it's Shabbos or during the week. You're not paying for the individual service. You're paying whenever a patient pays a doctor, even during the week, the patient is only paying the doctor because we're happy that the doctor is in the profession of medicine and not in a different profession. If that's the case, you're happy during the week and you're happy on Shabbos equally. So Schar Shabbos would never get involved. Based on this, my father wants to say an added chiddush, which is the following. My father says that he told me that Dr. Lamb once called a meeting in YU with all the Rabbeim, and he said that he wants to talk about what's going to be in the contract for the coming year of how many days I had to take vacation. And after that, we're going to dock your pay. So my father got up in the meeting, and he said before the meeting started, I don't think this meeting is really justified. Why? Because he argued that the whole reason why you're allowed to pay a Rebbe in the first place is only because it's Schar Batala. Because you're happier that we haven't gone to get another job. So how can you put in my contract, if you take this and this many days off, we're going to dock your pay? What do you mean? I'm not paid by the day. I'm paid because this year I chose not to be in a different profession. I'm paid because I'm in the profession of being in the line of Chinuch, in the line of Rabbanus. And therefore, you cannot put into a contract the stipulation that if you take this and this amount of days off, we're going to dock your day's pay. How can you take my day's pay? So Dr. Lamb got up and he said, if that's halacha, the meeting's over. That was it. So it's amazing. It's the way YU used to run. Yeah. So correct. So to say that your salary is going to go down, meaning the value of your Schar Batala maybe goes down, is one thing. But to say every day we're going to knock off because this and that, that you can't do tit for tat like that, that doesn't make sense. You have to make an overall calculation. If you have a Rebbe who's skipping 200 out of the 365 days a year, obviously the Schar Batala for such a person is not going to be as great as somebody who comes every day. Now let's move a little further. We have a Gemara in Sanhedrin as well as a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which tell us from this week's Parsha that we have an Isser to get Hana, to derive benefit from a mace. A dead body, we assume, is considered Aser B'Hana. So we know that's the case, and the question is that a Din D'Oraisa, is that a Din D'Rabbanan? Not clear. However, Rabbi Akiva Eiger discusses the following Shaila. If that's true, that you're not allowed to get Hana, you're not allowed to derive benefit from a mace, from a dead body, then ask Rabbi Akiva Eiger, how can I be paid to be a pallbearer? How can I be paid to go ahead and run the cemetery? How am I allowed to be paid to go and dig graves? Let's say that's my profession. Is that not getting Hanoah from a mace? They're paying me in order to take care of the mace. So isn't that an issue? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger and all the other Achronim talk about it, Chasam Sofer and others, what do you do about the fact that somebody is going to be paid for the fact that they're taking care of the dead body? So how are we allowed to do that? Don't we know, when it comes to the halacha of Yayin Nesech, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that let's say if I'm hired to go and drive the Yayin Nesech, the bottles of Yayin Nesech, from one community to another, I'm just a truck driver. It's not that I'm selling the wine. I'm being paid to do a service with the wine. That's already considered getting hana from Yayin Nesech. And if Yayin Nesech is Aser B'Hana, that is also considered a violation of the Isser Hana. So shouldn't I be concerned over here as well? You're going to go ahead and take money for being involved in the dead body? How are you allowed to do that? Isn't that a problem of getting hana from a dead body? That's the question Rabbi Akiva Eiger is bothered with. So some Achronim want to say a fancy answer. They say, well, if you look in Hilchos Yayin Nesech, the Shulchan Aruch says that, let's say you have somebody who's paid, I don't know what kind of profession this is, but Shulchan Aruch says here in Yaridea, Yisrael shesachru oved kochavim neshaber lo chavish shal yayin nesach. Let's say you have a non-Jew who has a whole big barrel of yayin nesach, and now he hired a Jewish person to go ahead and break those barrels of yayin nesach. I don't know why. Afal pi sherotze b'kiyum shal yishtam me'aleim, whatever. I'm allowed to take money for that. Why am I allowed to take money for such a thing? Am I not getting benefit? Am I not deriving pleasure from Yayin Nesach? I'm being paid to do work with the Yayin Nesach, so why am I allowed to do that? He says, because the whole objective of what I'm supposed to do is to destroy the Yayin Nesach. I'm breaking the barrels of Yayin Nesach. So yes, I'm being paid to go ahead and deal with Yayin Nesach. That's why I have a profession. That's why I have a job. But in the end of the day, my job is to go and destroy the Ayin Nesach, so therefore I'm allowed to. So too over here, some Achronim want to argue that, yes, it's true that you're not allowed to get Hana, you're not allowed to derive benefit from a mace, but what is my Hana? I'm going ahead and taking the mace and getting rid of the Hana that anyone can get from it. I'm putting a mace into the ground. That's like getting rid of the Ayin Nesach. So for such a thing, the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to get Hana, so too over here, some say that's where you're allowed to get Hana. However, the answer is much simpler than that. You don't have to get so fancy and bring proofs from Ayin Nesach. The answer is, in the first place, a person is not allowed to charge money for going ahead and being involved in the Chevra Kadisha. That's a violation of the din of Ma'ani B'chinam. Every mitzvah opportunity that we have to be able to say that we're going to do it free of charge. So therefore, what right does anybody have? If you're involved in the Chevra Kadisha, you're involved in the cemetery, you're a pallbearer, whatever you are, how are you allowed to take money for that in the first place? Obviously, the understanding is it's Schar Batala. It's not really being paid for the act of bearing the mace, it's being paid for not taking another job, for not becoming a lawyer, for not becoming a plumber. I'm paying you because I want you to always be available to bury the person who's dead. And therefore, if that's the whole understanding, that we're paying the person just as Schar Batala, just about the fact that they didn't take another job, then that's not called Isur Hana. We're not paying you for the act of bearing the mace. We're paying you because you haven't chosen to do something else. In a case like that, there would be no violation of Isur Hana at all because we're not paying you for the act itself of bearing the mace. Rather, we're paying you for not taking any other profession. So we mentioned that the principle of Ma'ane Bechinam applies not only to Talmud Torah but to other mitzvahs as well. And one last question is, which mitzvahs, where do we draw the line? Which mitzvahs does it apply to? Which mitzvahs might it not apply to? So over here the answer is, basically Rav Shamsher Rafal Hirsch writes, and the Stechemet has such a suggestion as well, that it only applies to a mitzvah where I am necessary to be involved in that mitzvah, meaning like HaShavas Avedim. The individual himself who lost the item cannot return it to himself. He doesn't know where it is. I'm the one who happened to find it. Therefore, I cannot take a salary because he needs me to give it back to him. Or you take, for example, the case that the Gemara gives. You're not allowed to charge money to have a Din Torah, to be a Dayan on a Din Torah. Why not? Because you can't do the Din Torah on your own. You need to come to somebody else to do the Din Torah for you. So wherever the Torah set up a system where the mitzvah has to be performed by somebody else in order for you to be able to do it, in a case like that, you're not allowed to accept payment. However, take for example, a person is blowing shofar. What do you mean? The Baal Tokei is the only one who can blow shofar? Anyone in the shul can blow shofar. Ah, you'll say, I don't know how to do it, so go teach yourself how to do it. Go teach yourself how to do it. Even if I teach myself all my want, how to become a dayan, I still cannot be the dayan for my own case. I still need somebody else. That's why in a case like that, you're not allowed to charge money. But where you have a situation where we're talking about a case where anybody would be able to do it. For example, you don't know how to tie the tzitzis. I know how to tie the tzitzis. So you're going to tell me, oh, you have to do it for me for free because I don't know how to do it. So go teach yourself, sit down, open up on Google, watch a video, teach yourself how to tie the tzitzis. There's no reason for me to do it. In a case like that where I am not really needed, it's just you have a lack of knowledge of how to do it, and I happen to have that knowledge, in a case like that, Rav Hirsch and the Stechemet write that perhaps that would be the guideline. In a case like that, one might be able to charge for performing a mitzvah like that because it's not needed that I should do it for you. It just happens to be under the circumstances you're not able to do it for yourself. Okay, we'll continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.